Mike O'Donnell is at an age when life seems to have passed him by.
Bet you wish you had it to do all over again.
You got that right.
But in one extraordinary moment...
Hey! Get off of there!
He'll get to turn back the clock... and be 17... all over again.
No way. It's freaking me out.
It's freaking me out! I'm pubescent! This is my chance to have my life over, but to do it right. I'm going back to high school, man!
Don't even think about sucking me into it with you.
I'm here to enroll my son.
Sup? What is this you're wearing? This is hip.
What'd you do, Mug Cave Head?
What are you wearing? You look like Clay Aiken.
Now.
Why is the new kid waving at me?
He's back in class.
What are you eating?
I don't even know. I just know I'm hungry. All the time.
And he's back in the game.
Hey, Mom. This is Mark.
Wow. You look just like my husband. So weird.
He's weird.
In 2009.
Maggie has a boyfriend?
Why are you dating him?
He's bullying your little brother.
Who do you think you are, my father?
He's got one last shot.
It's not about me. It's about helping Alex and Maggie.
To get things right.
Who won? No, it was pretty even.
Really?
On YouTube, it looked like you were getting your butt kicked.
New Line Cinema presents...
When you're young, everything feels like the end of the world. But it's not. It's just the beginning.
Zac Efron.
I made the basketball team.
Really? Oh, I'm so proud of you.
Me too. You did great out there.
Oh, Mark, that's super inappropriate.
Nice.
17 again.
Sound of the funky drummer.
Welcome to Recap and Gown, the podcast where four old millennials talk about the high school and college movies from back in the day when we were high school and college students to find out what made the grade and what should have been held back. Representing the class of 03, I am your co-host Crooks. Joining me this week and every week, he sings like an angel and drinks like a fish, the class of 04's own Big Hearn, David Oscar Hernandez. What up, Dave?
Not much. A lot of good stuff on Netflix this week. I didn't know who Baird Rustin was, but I watched the film.
That's the problem. They've erased that man from history. It's fucked up.
And now I know.
Yeah.
Quite the figure. Played a role in one of the most important marches in all of history, and I had no idea, no clue.
There was another documentary about him probably 10 or so years ago now. Oh god, it was Brother Unwelcome, something like that. But yeah, like, it's fucked up. Like, that man is, he deserves to be every bit as renowned as all the other figures from that era. And it's like, yeah, but he liked dudes. So
yeah.
Gotta cut him out. Like, he's never been there in the first place.
They had a part, Jeffrey Wright played Adam Clayton Powell. And he pretty much says to his face, he's like, he's referring to him. He's like, what if there's one man in the struggle who could bring it all down just by being him?
Yeah.
And like, you can just talk to me. I'm here. If you want to refer to me as I am. He like walks around it in the way that he speaks in the most perfect way. But yeah, good movie. A lot of great actors in it. Chris Rock shows up. I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Look at that. Okay. And then I watched a show about, it's called The Railway Men.
I have not watched it yet.
If you haven't, if you wanted to see like a real life, interpreted, well, not really a movie about the Bhopal disaster in its realist terms. Pretty good. No, it's a mini series. It's not a movie, but horrifying stuff happened there. And a lot of, I don't know, there were these heroic people, like the businessmen were like, you guys can't go in there. And they were like, fuck you.
Yeah, the hell I can't.
We're getting people out. So didn't know that either.
Yeah. If we're doing documentary recs, I got a couple. I think it might have been like a month ago or so, Amazon, or maybe it was Peacock, did their Twin Flames documentary. The Netflix one is a lot better. The Netflix one is, oh boy. I mean, I was tangentially aware that Twin Flames was a thing. Dana, you look real confused. You're not familiar with this?
I saw stuff on Twitter about this. Uh-huh. I'm looking it up right now.
Essentially, yeah, it's a couple. It's two people who run a cult. Their cult is all about, like, if you do these things, you will find the one person on this planet who is meant to be with you, and you are meant to be with them. So the whole thing is, like, there is one single person on this planet who is perfect for you. You are perfect for them. And if they don't get it, just stalk them until they do. That is pretty essentially cool. How Twin Flames works. It's like, yeah, I bumped into this guy at the coffee shop. We had eye contact for a second. I'm pretty sure that's my twin flame. Am I right? And they're like, yep, we are the only ones able to confirm who your twin flame is. It's that guy. Do whatever you can to be with him. I don't care if he gets a restraining order. Violate that shit. It's crazy.
And it gets crazier. The sure trans does. Stuff, people getting... Yeah, you want to watch it, it's wild.
I mean, they wind up with a problem that most cults have, which is you don't have equal numbers of men and women. And when it's a cult that's all about having couples, they're like, well, we got way more women than men. Let's just start telling a bunch of them they're trans, and that'll solve the fucking problem.
And then put two women together. It's like, you're the man.
Yep.
Awesome, right?
And like, we have decided you're the man now, so you're trans. Now, it's like, I wasn't yesterday. Well, you are now. It's fucked up.
Wow. Okay. I've already downloaded some stuff for the plane. I might switch to this because
it's very good.
I just found like an Allure article that's like, it isn't necessarily a romantic soulmate or what some might call the one, but they will always change your life, and often from the very first time you cross paths with them.
That's kind of a benign reading of it. If you look at the people that are in it, like, no, it's romantic love, and that's all that I care about and all that I'm after, and the only person that can have it with is one person. And yeah, he's married to somebody else, but I don't give a fuck. There's another one where it's this lady's coworker, and he's like, no, like, I am full-blown, out-of-the-closet gay. I'm not into women at all. And she's like, yep, I'm going to fix that. Like, dude, no. Yeah,
so it's also a cult.
Yes.
It's not just like a, okay.
It's a cult because it's like you have to attend these classes in order to like maintain your status, like climbing up the ladder a la Scientology. And it's like you got to pay for these classes. And if you don't pay for the classes, we'll like humiliate you and treat you like shit until you come back to us. Essentially, it is fucking dark. The other one that I watched, I think there's only one episode so far. There might be two by now. It's on HBO Max. It's about Love Has Won and Mother God.
No.
Oh.
Has she turned blue or gray yet?
She's gray when it starts. Was it
colloidal silver?
Yeah.
That's how to cure COVID. If you take enough of it, it turns you blue.
It's one of these where they interview a lot of people who are still in it. And when they talk, I'm like, how do you not hear yourself? Like, how do you not hear how fucking insane you sound right now? So yeah, if you're into weird cult shit, I will watch whatever documentary there is, and no matter what cult it is. And these are two that I was kind of unfamiliar with. So get on those. Something else I was unfamiliar with was the movie from this week. What are we talking about? Where can we get it? And what is it about?
Oh, we're just jumping in? Okay, let's go. 17 again.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did we talk to you? Did we ask how your week is going or anything? Dana, how are you, Dana? You're our chief spirit guide and trivia correspondent. What's going on?
The Giants won our third win.
Did not expect that.
Bears didn't.
Bet against that, and I was very surprised.
Yeah.
We won. We scored a touchdown in the first quarter, and we were leading the whole entire time.
Well, so,
multiple touchdowns from Tommy DeVito, TDs for TD. Mm-hmm. One of the guys at the bar where I watch it ordered a chicken parm sandwich in honor of Tommy DeVito. I don't know if you're following all this. He has more multi-touchdown games than Kenny Pickett does, and that's he's surprising. Only played in four games.
He was not very good in college, so this is all kind of surprising.
So we won, so that was exciting. Tommy,
if we're talking about football,
still lives at home with his mother who does his laundry and makes his bed and cooks some chicken cutlets, and I was like, yeah, that's what every good Italian boy does.
Yeah, no, that's until he gets married. Until he gets married.
Yeah,
we're talking about football stuff. Iowa won the Big Ten West Division. We have earned the right to go lose to Michigan or Ohio State by 80 points next week.
Did they win 10-3? Because that's what they do.
I think it was 15-12 or something stupid.
Awesome. That's only a little better than what I said.
I mean, watching Iowa football is not fun. I was talking about it. I went to two friends of the pod, Katie and Nick Hallman. Their son turned two over the weekend. So I was at their house for the birthday party during the game. When I was talking to Nick, and I was like, I can't remember the last time I had fun watching Iowa football. It might have been we beat the shit out of USC in a bowl game a few years ago. I think that was like 2019, 2020. Before that would have been the Ohio State blowout in 2017. I've had fun watching my favorite team play two games in the last 6 years. So yeah, my life is fucking misery. But yeah, what are we talking about? Where can we get it? And what is it about?
Sure. Sorry. I'm reading up about the couple, the Divines, Jeff and Shayla.
Those aren't their real names. Shalia. I think her real name is like Susan. Was it Megan
Ponte and Jeffrey Ian?
There you go.
Ian, whatever. Yeah.
Jeffrey's convinced he's Jesus. Like he's actual Jesus, he says. So
okay. I'll have to read
all those pictures of Jesus are really just pictures of him. That the artist saw because he's actual Jesus. Anyway, Danny, you were saying?
Okay. The film we are watching this week, even though I'm going to be terribly distracted by this, I love cult things. Shiny Happy People, I still recommend.
It's very good.
Terrifying, but good. We watched 17 again. It is available to stream on Prime Video. I think you can rent it on Apple and all those other good things, but it was on Prime, so that's where I got it. The synopsis via Rotten Tomatoes is Mike O'Donnell was a high school basketball star with a bright future, but he threw it all away to marry his girlfriend and raise her child. Almost 20 years later, Mike's marriage has failed. His kid thinks he's the loser and his job is going nowhere. He gets a chance to correct the mistakes of his past and change his life when he is miraculously transformed into a teenager. But in trying to fix his past, Mike may be jeopardizing his present and future. I don't know about that last
fucking
part,
hilarious. But just like he threw it all away to marry and have a family. And I'm like, well, I mean, he could have still had a bright future. He just things didn't go well for him. That last part. I mean, it doesn't seem like he's jeopardizing anything.
No,
not really.
I wasn't seeing any like Back to the Future. All of a sudden, his family's fading. It was not like that type.
No, there were no repercussions from this at all. Dave, if you could give us a rundown of who's in this movie.
Well, there's Mike O'Donnell, Matthew Perry, for his, I guess his childhood counterpart, who has a different name, Mark Gold.
That's right,
Zac Efron. You guys can talk. I'm sure we'll talk about if you think that they if it makes sense that he becomes him.
No,
I mean, wait,
I don't know.
Wait, what?
We'll talk about it later. But
I don't know what they.
Zac Efron plays Mike O'Donnell.
Well, according to the school, his name is Mark Gold.
Mark Gold.
Oh, you're right.
Because Mike O'Donnell was a famous basketball player there 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay, you're right.
Looked just like
an IMDb, they're both Mike O'Donnell. Oh, so that's what I was like, what are you talking about? I was very confused. Okay.
That's fair.
Yeah. There's Scarlett, Leslie Mann, young Scarlett, played by Allison Miller. We can talk about if that fits. I don't think they
No. But
I know people change. I get it.
I just went to our 20th reunion. Different. I recognized people from back then. They didn't look that different.
Yes, the faces stay pretty much the same. Maybe they get a little puffier.
But yeah, a little puffier, a little bit less puffy. One of the two.
That's what I'm saying. But, you know, Thomas Lennon is Ned. I love Thomas Lennon.
Stole the show.
And his young counterpart, Tyler Steelman, he was really good at falling down. That's a tough part to play.
His D&D was nonsense, by the way, but that's all right.
Yeah. Margaret Sarah Maggie O'Donnell, the daughter, is Michelle Trachtenberg, Harriet the Spy.
I was shocked that was her when they first showed her. I'm like, ain't no way that's Michelle Trachtenberg still playing an 18-year-old. Like, ain't no fucking way. And I'm like, oh my God, it's actual Michelle Trachtenberg still playing a high school student.
That's correct. I think, yeah, she was like 18 or 19 when Eurotrip came out, and that was 6 years before this, 5 years before
this. I had it on DVD for many years before this. She's 24 or 25 in this movie, playing an 18-year-old.
Yeah. Son Alex, played by Sterling Knight. Melora Hardin as Principal Masterson. Mm-hmm. She was on The Office, right?
Oh, yeah.
She
was Jan Levinson Gould.
Jan Levinson Gould. Hunter Parrish as Stan. Nicole Sullivan from Mad TV as Naomi, pronounced Naomi.
Naomi.
Sure, remind you. Sorry, is it Nye? Nay?
No, it's Nay, but he calls it Naomi.
Yeah. All right. Okay. I guess they grouped them together on Wikipedia. The three ladies, Jamie, Samantha, and Lauren, Kat Graham, Tia Sirkar, and Melissa Ordway. Magical janitor is played by Brian Doyle Murray. I guess he's the second most magical Murray brother. Yeah. Bill is magical.
Bill seems more magical.
Yeah. The way he just shows up places, I'm like, that's magic. That's magic. But Nicole, the head cheerleader, played by Josie Lauren. She's a fascinating character. Do you know about her?
No.
Married to Matt Leinart and doesn't think much of COVID or masks or anything.
Wow.
Liberal. Now I wish I had pictures.
Right?
Yeah. She's pretty. Yeah, she's great. I love watching movies from the 2000s, and you see Jim Gaffigan show up right away. That was something.
And he looked great.
He did.
Say he looked great.
Well, as good as Jim Gaffigan can look.
Yeah, he looked great for Jim Gaffigan.
Was right there. And Margaret Cho is a teacher, Mrs. Dell.
Yeah, for about 30 seconds. Margaret Cho comes up for a second there.
All these folks.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Let's give some memories of the first time we saw this one. Dana, what do you got?
This is the problem. I know I've seen this movie before. When? And I've seen it before. I remember enjoying it. And then I watched it again and I was like, what? I don't remember any of this.
Oh. So.
But I've seen it before, yes. No memory of it. But I enjoyed it. At the
Dave,
time,
memories for you?
2009, first year grad school. No. I think this got past me. I don't know how.
We were living together back then. We were not watching
so,
the shit.
Yeah, that's not something that we had on the DVR or turned on one night at all. So, earlier today.
Okay. Earlier today for me too. I wasn't interested in this when it came out and haven't been interested in watching it on streaming. So, yeah, this was the first time for me too. Dana, did it make the grade or should they hold this back?
All the performances are very winning. Everybody's funny. Everybody's great. It's a little weird. And it's kind of where I want to start to talk about the film, but it's okay. Yeah. I'd give it like a C, B minus. I think it needed more Matthew Perry, not less.
He's barely in it.
Yeah, I know. I was very upset by that.
Okay. Dave, how about you?
Wasn't quite sure who it was for. I didn't feel like it was really for teens that much. I didn't feel like it was for he plays a 37-year-old guy with kids who's getting divorced. Is it for them? Not really. That doesn't really hurt it though. There's some parts that are good. I laughed, like I said, anything with Thomas Lennon involved was pretty funny. Mm-hmm. The clothing that those two wore. Well, when
the first outfit that he's got
when,
on is
when Zac Efron goes to school and he thinks that was it the Hardy Ed Hardy stuff,
Ed Hardy everything,
hilarious, and then the other stuff. But the magical part, that was weird.
Real hand wavy.
It was weird, but it's a device that's been used in other films, and they did it this way. But it was still odd, and the ending, fine, I guess it was okay.
Yeah,
and the couple laughs that I got were sufficient. I got through it, just over hour 40, a little long for me, but
felt a shade long.
It was fine. Yeah. It was fine.
Yeah, this made the grade for me almost exclusively because of Thomas Lennon and Melora Hardin.
Yeah,
I should start off by saying this is not the movie I thought this was gonna be. I thought it was going to be him going back in time and getting to redo his senior year of high school, not jumping into his teen body in the modern day. Like, in my mind, I'm like, okay, so he's going to get to, like, go back and, like, change things and remake his future Butterfly Effect style.
Like a guy from, like, the Pleasantville Don Knotts shows up. He's like, I can send you back in time.
That's what I thought was going to happen.
Yeah.
But I laughed more than I thought I was going to. As Dana said, the performances are all solid. I think, Dave, you kind of nailed it where I don't know who the movie's made for either.
Mm-hmm.
I would have thought, and this is probably why I never saw it before, I would have thought Zac Efron, this era, this is a movie for teen girls.
For sexy teens, yes. Sexy teens.
This is a movie for
teen
girls, to drool over this boy.
Right.
It ain't that. He's shirtless a couple times, but he's not presented as like any kind of a heartthrob. Then it's also not really for like teenage boys because we don't really see him. I mean, for obvious reasons, we don't see him like hook up with anybody or anything. So it's just like, I don't know. Mm. It's not, I didn't feel like it's made for me at my age as the age that Matthew Perry is supposed to be in this. I don't know.
The squandering of the 17-year-old cock is so sad.
Oh boy. So sad. Not need to say 17-year-old cock, but
I know no one does. But I had to make the point. I'm like, what would you do if you went back? You were 17.
Well, I would drive that Mazda fucking everywhere. I would say is, I think the performances are good. The movie itself, not that good, but the individual performances I think kind of carried over the line here. Before we get into the recap and the segments, I have a couple of fun facts, and then I wanted to see if you guys have some too. First one, my opening facts are, well, the first one is about the opening scene. So in the opening scene, we see Mike dance to Bust a Move by Young MC. He also does the hammer dance from You Can't Touch This. And right after that, his coach calls him Vanilla Ice. This was during the 1989 basketball season, which went in February or March. Bust a Move was released in May of 1989, and both You Can't Touch This and Ice Ice Baby were in 1990. So none of those references are possible at all. The smallest amount of research would be like, oof, make this a Run DMC song, call him somebody else, but call him one of the Beastie Boys. But yeah, no, that did not land. Yeah, and then
that was definitely a magical janitor thing. He's like, also these songs too.
You know the dance to a video that's not out yet. Yeah. Then there's also a Disney Channel original movie called 17 Again. When I looked for this one, I searched for it and that's what came up. And I'm like, is the regular one not available anywhere? Because I spelled out 17 instead of using the number 17.
There you go.
That movie is with Tia Tamara and Taj Mowry. It's borderline unforgivable. Essentially,
what is
like,
it about? I saw it. I didn't.
It's a hunk of shit. There's these two grandparents who are like super genius inventors, and they invent a machine to reverse their aging and make them young again. But the machine is overpowered, and they turn into toddlers. So pretty much the whole movie is like Tia, Tamara, and Taj babysitting old people who are acting like obnoxious toddlers. Like that's
a Futurama episode like that. They all got into this fountain of youth and like need to stay in for just long. So we tried our best. Like, oh my god!
It's basically that. Only these are grown-ups who don't seem to understand that they're grown-ups anymore. Like they de-age in a way where they lose memories. So it's like, I don't want to see two old people like yelling and screaming and like getting food all over their faces and shit. But that's basically what this movie is. So thank God we didn't watch that one. Any other fun facts on this movie?
It wasn't like, I don't think it's a fun fact, but it's a fact that I learned. This was Matthew Perry's like final theatrical film.
It's a little surprising because it was a long time ago. So I wonder if he just like didn't enjoy being in films and thought of himself as a TV actor first. I don't know.
And I realized I have $100 million. I don't have to do this shit if I don't want to. If I find something I really like, I'll do it. But why would I do this if I don't need to?
I want to agree with you. I've seen Jason Alexander in commercials this week.
He's an actor. He was like a real Broadway like. He teaches classes and stuff. He's a theater guy. So he's like, don't need to do it. This is fun for me.
I guess.
Yeah.
And he picks funny stuff too.
Yeah, so. He does.
And I'm not sure it might have been like a it may not have been his choice because of his struggles and all those different things. And
yeah,
something. I do remember him on The Good Wife. It's pretty good. It was a little shaky, but it was good.
Oh yeah, you should.
It's Mike Restiva. It's a great character. You never watched Good Wife?
My wife watched it, and then all of The Good Fight after that. And I'm like, yeah, that's all right. Yeah, I don't need to watch that.
Tried to watch that. I've yet to finish either series. I don't even think I finished the first season of Good Fight.
Crazy shit happens later on The Good Wife. There's a couple episodes where things go. But that's kind of what happened. And if there's no Juliana Margulies, I'm not going to watch The Good Fight.
I mean, Christine Baranski.
No, Good Fight is good.
Is it?
Delroy Lindo's bopping around. That's right. There. Mm-hmm. Audrey McDonald shows up. It's good. It's very black. I like it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Any other fun facts on this one? No?
People playing, like, Michelle Trachtenberg is only 13 years younger than Leslie Mann.
Michelle Trachtenberg's 35 in this film.
Yeah. Older than Leslie Mann.
Yeah. Yep. That's how it goes sometimes. Sorry. People age at different rates.
Let's go ahead and get into the recap and the segments here then. Dave, where do you want to get us started?
Me?
I'm sorry, Dana, where do you want to get us started?
Okay, so I definitely thought this movie was a body swap. I thought it was a father and son who swapped.
Sure.
Because we had 18 again with George Burns and one of his grandsons, so that was 18 again, and that was a
movie. Wow,
you've never seen it? Oh my god, I've watched it many times. I think it was on Comedy Central all the time when we were kids.
George Burns, all right.
Yeah, so that's where I was just looking up like body switch movies, and a lot of them on the list. I was like, no. There's a body swap, which is literally two people.
Mm-hmm.
Their souls or whatever go into each other's bodies or go
lightning
into another
strikes
whatever.
And all of a sudden they flip.
You piss in a fountain, you do whatever, you make a wish while you're touching.
Wait, fortune cookie.
Which one's pissing in a fountain?
Change up.
The change? That's right. Okay. I remember that one now.
Which
that
one's
was
pissing in a fountain.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you know, like we got face off. Where they literally change, there's that's a face swap.
Yes.
But, you know, there's like a swap situation. And then there are the bigs and the reverse. This is a reverse big is what this is.
Yes.
But yeah, I'm like looking at all, I have like a whole list up, and I even like the 20 best body swaps. I was like, those aren't body swaps. A lot of those are just bigs or reverse bigs or just people taking over someone else's life. So I definitely thought it was a body swap situation. So I like pulled it up on IMDb and I was reading the quick synopsis and I was like, well, that's wrong. That's not what happens. It's a father and son switch places. So you can imagine my surprise.
Yeah.
When it was just Zac Efron is just going to play in quotes Matthew Perry. Because I think that's where I struggled. I don't think I got enough Matthew Perry-isms.
There was none of them. And I think I'm with you. I think, first of all, I prefer of these three options, body swap, reverse big, or standard American big, I would go with regular big. I think that to me is, it's a lot more fun to watch a grown-up play a young person pretending to be a grown-up than it is to watch a young person play a grown-up pretending to be young. I think that's a much harder thing to do because, like, if you've never been 38, you're 12. How do you know how to act like you're 38? That's tough. They make a lot of noise when you stand up, you know, take longer than usual to do some things. But, like, there's not a lot to do there. So I prefer it this way. And I think the problem that I had was the same one that you had. We don't really see Zac Efron do any Matthew Perry stuff. And I'm not going to jump ahead to the end, but like in the end, when you see him again, I'm like, he didn't even try to act like you, man.
He does generic dad stuff when he's at that party. He's just like, no, I refuse to let that happen.
That stuff is funny. It's funny,
not
but
allowed
like
to do that.
Matthew Perry is an idiosyncratic actor. There are actors who have a very specific style to how they behave. I think about Ryan Reynolds as one where you're like, you have to do a Ryan Reynolds impression. You can't just be a regular person. And I think that Matthew Perry has a lot of that in his delivery. Like, we know what he sounds like. And so to watch Zac Efron be like, nah, I'm going to play it as hot Zac Efron. I'm like, well, now you're not doing it right.
I mean, I saw all 22 episodes of Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip. I get it. I know how he acts.
I thought you were going to say, Goon, which is turns out is Go On.
Oh, no.
Mr. Sunshine.
Mr. Sunshine.
No,
I'm going to tell you something about
Studio 60.
Goon.
No, I'm going to tell you, the first 13 of Studio 60, magnificent. The back nine are the problem. The back nine. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I'm using studio lingo. I'm sorry.
You are. But now I feel like I have to watch the change up to see if Jason Bateman does a Ryan Reynolds.
Back 11. It might be 24 episodes long. I'll have to look at my DVD somewhere. I have to look that up. Back nine or back 11. It's either 22 or 24 episodes. I don't remember. I think there's some two-parters in there. It's good stuff.
But yeah, I feel like this wasn't... Like, I'm looking at some of the lists. Like, I don't know if you guys have watched Freaky, where Vince Vaughn plays a teenage girl. It's good. It's pretty entertaining.
I've heard it was good.
Like, the, you know, gender-swapped ones are pretty good. I think you need both. I think that's the problem. Like, you need, or if you're not going to have both, it can't be a reverse big. It's got to be the standard straight up big.
Yes.
You know, regular 13 going on 30. It's not a movie I enjoy, but it's more interesting.
It's, I don't enjoy it because it's like poorly written.
Yes.
I'm like, does it make sense? I enjoyed watching Jennifer Garner pretend to be a 13-year-old. That's kind of funny. Like, yeah, you know, her, that part's fine, but the plot of that movie is garbage.
Yeah, it's not great. So yeah, it was I once I saw that like Adam Shankman was one of the producers of it, I was like, oh, okay, this is we gotta make that. He's hot. Zac Efron is hot right now. He's got that High School Musical sizzle. Let's get him in something. And that's where I think he's like a basketball player because he played basketball in High School Musical. He Clocked also gets to dance. Because, like, oh, that's what, if you got Zac Efron, let him dance. But yeah, it just wasn't, I wasn't buying it. So that's just where I'm going to start. I appreciate, again, as I said, everybody was winning. Everybody was doing their best.
Uh-huh.
It's just the initial conceit is not
Tiger
great.
Blood. Yeah, it's good stuff.
So now we can get into, as winning. I mentioned in the synopsis, we open on a flashback to 1989. Where somebody's just shooting
1989.
Loops, a number. Yeah. Another summer.
Something about the funky drummer.
Sound of the funky drummer.
There it is, the sound.
There wasn't enough 89.
They made it 89. I'm like, there's a song. That's an iconic.
Nine.
Yeah.
The problem that I had was like, I wanted to see them do this. Where you shoot it on like what looks like a VHS camera, like make it look like it's 89. None of the people in the crowd, no one. I didn't see United Colors of Benetton everywhere. This did not look like 89 to me at all.
Yeah. Well, that's like, I didn't buy this. So like, he's a star basketball player, is going for a scholarship because they always are. But he's friends with like the water boy who's an absolute nerd. And he's like, you're my best friend, Ned. I was like, No, you're not. Unless it's this the tiniest little town in the middle of nowhere. You are not friends with Ned.
Maybe they've been all best throughout. Friends since they were toddlers. Maybe their parents are best friends.
This is probably supposed to be Ohio. I know an Ohio State recruiter comes later, so
sure does, yeah.
I think it's supposed to be any town, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not buying that he's like loudly professing, Ned, you're my best friend. Stop making me look, you know, like I'm just not buying it.
That's fair.
Cause then he has the hot girlfriend. He's Mr. like dancing, and we'll talk about that in a second. So you're just like, you know, something's going to happen because the girlfriend like comes to see him before the big game. She needs to tell him something. I was like, she's either breaking up with him or she's pregnant. It winds up being the latter.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of both. It's I'm dumping you because I'm pregnant.
Yeah.
Her hair was way too flat on her head for 89.
Oh, yeah.
First thing
her
I
hair
thought,
was.
Tease that shit up.
I'm looking at the people dancing. I'm like. All you had to do is just pick it up. Yeah. Everyone just
put some crimps in it. Uh-huh. It is
some spray, kill the ozone layer for a couple seconds. Just
Oh, we still were up. Back then. We yes. still were. We CFCs. Had not.
Very much. Very much.
Everything was aerosol.
Everyone, this, it looked late 90s, early 2000s. This, like, when I was in high school, that's no one was yeah. dressed particularly 80s or anything.
No.
So,
no.
I don't know.
You got, I mean, at a minimum, you got to put her in like a Molly Ringwald grandma core get up from whatever movie that was, where she had like metal bangles on her sensible cardigan and shit. Like, was it Pretty in Pink?
Pretty,
yeah.
Pretty in Pink.
You got to dress her like that at least.
Was it to Steph? What was Spader's character?
Yeah, his name was Steph.
Steph.
Was he Steph or was Steph the other guy?
No, the other guy was Blaine because it Blaine. Sounds like an appliance.
Yeah.
Chocolate Steph stain Blaine.
Chocolate yeah. stain Blaine.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's riding high. He's doing all these like pregame shenanigans. He's literally dancing, as we called out, they're dancing to Bust a Move by Young MC, which was not out yet. I also think we don't know where this takes place. We really don't.
Mm-hmm. No, we don't know for sure.
But I just, there's also, I'm going to say this. The song that they're dancing to is very black, and there was not a lot of people of color in this school. They are
I didn't
not,
see one.
Well,
they are dancing to Pour Some Sugar time? On Me. They are
not
rocking
in 89,
a Jovi.
Later, yeah. in 09, I was like, whoa. Well, it was rather, there was
yeah,
diversity
but
later,
89.
But not in 89.
Yeah, exactly you're not. Right. They're not dancing to Young MC. You're right. This
you
is
think they're going like,
this is white stage.
I think we're alone. Like Boys to or was what's New Kids on the Block out? Like yeah. we're not dancing to Young MC. That's no. all I'm saying.
Stand to no. yeah, nothing, yeah, nothing like that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Stand step tough. By step, put a little new ooh, baby. Yeah, it's one of those.
Get to you, girl. Step one.
no one believes you. You're not that tough. Oh, stop it.
But yeah, so he's like doing his warm up, and then the coach, then like, I don't know. I just feel like at some point the cheerleaders start performing. He jumps in, starts dancing with them, ripping his pants off, kissing his girlfriend, doing all this shit. And I'm like, none of that would fly. Like,
you
none
have a
of
game
that.
To play, bud.
Right. But, you know, 89, it was different. So, yes, we find out the day of his big game, his girlfriend is pregnant, and she is ready to be like, hey, man, you go follow your dreams. You go get out of our small town. And he's like, no. I'm going to marry you and we're going to raise this kid.
Yep. And I won't resent you at all. And it'll be totally awesome. Be totally
I insist you leave me behind and never think about this child I'm carrying.
No.
Wild.
No, I'm going to throw it all away to be
it
with you.
Away mid-game. She's not leaving the country. It's not like, oh I'm leaving for Paris tonight. It's like, no.
You can also go to the game. Go to the
Schmishmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorschmorsch
If you're in Ohio, you can go to Michigan.
But we don't know where this is. It's not.
It's Ohio. It's somewhere.
It's not even the middle of the game. It is the start of the game, and he's dribbling in slow mo. Yeah. Dribbling. Between the legs, dribble, looking at the coach.
Steering away. I get it, though. Like, if I'm focused on the game right now.
Yeah, it totally makes sense. Yeah. But, like, you take a second. He runs off this court. There's not a parent that comes chasing after him. There's not a coach. There's not another player. It's just like, oh, he ran away. Who cares? It's like, no, none of that would happen. So that's what happens in the beginning. And then we cut to present day. Was it 2007? Is that what it's supposed to take? 2009?
I don't think they told. I think it was quote unquote present day, but yeah.
It's supposed to be 20. It's 20 years later.
Which doesn't make sense.
Present day.
Which doesn't make sense.
Unless she's pregnant for 2 years. No, this is.
Fine, 19 years later. It's 08.
Yeah. 19 years makes sense.
That's the part that doesn't make sense. It's like that Maggie is the kid that you guys had. So
What if she's not? What if they had a kid who tragically died at like a year old?
So we're adding stuff
about it.
Let's step into it. Okay, so
maybe
this child,
Matthew Perry, is so upset with his life, he threw it away for a kid that never lived.
Yeah, he goes to Europe to try to play in like Olympiakos or something in Greece.
Yeah, Olympiakos.
I'm trying to throw
in the European league.
Yeah, you figure something out. And well, I know there's no NBA Europe in the 90s, I don't think, but
you can figure still it play out over there, though. They're still smaller.
There's a Latvian league for sure, man. All those Lithuanian dudes, there's a league in the Baltic.
Play basketball. We play in Estonia. Next door.
But here's the thing. So maybe the first kid didn't live very long, but they had already had Maggie. So then it's like, fuck.
Yeah. Irish Maggie. Twins.
The first one didn't make it, but then we got this other. I just should have just.
Shit ass. No, Trachtenberg with a bad attitude.
We're supposed to that's the first kid. That's the kid that they had when they were really young. And we're supposed to believe they have another kid 2 years later.
Hey, man.
That they're so ready. They're just like,
Dave,
let's do it again, man. 19, baby. Let's fucking do it.
Some of you don't watch Teen Mom and it shows. Like, no, that's what happens. I think Kale has 7 kids, 8 kids now. Shitload of kids.
What?
Yeah, she just had one. She got twins coming now.
I think.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I'm glad that I'm not gonna say any. I was about to say something awful about some of the people on Teen Moms. I'm just gonna
Janelle's kid can't stop running away. What I will say is one of the things that I learned from watching that show is it's something like 70% of women who are pregnant by the time they're 16 have a second kid before they're 20 or something like that. And I'm like, yeah, I think once you have that one. It's like, I'm not going to stop now, but like, yeah,
but
it's,
you should. But
you should. Well, every one of the teen moms should have stopped after one.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
None of them need to have all these fucking kids.
I feel like the TV show's just new. Anyway, so in this film, they had the kid. So I'm going to say that was 1989, 90. 2007 is the correct time.
Yes. Oh, seven.
Mm-hmm. 07-08
is totally acceptable. Mm-hmm. He wakes up. He's just a sad, depressed, disappointed, just midlife crisis. Everything sucks kind of dude. He thinks he's going to get a promotion at work, but he's in pharmaceutical sales.
He's in the one industry that it's like 25-year-old hot women get.
Yep.
That's around the room. We should have realized.
That's the industry.
Yeah.
But also he is their top seller. So he has the best numbers on the team.
Right. Doesn't matter.
So he gets skipped over for the promotion for a woman who's been there for 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like we needed a little more time with these people, but the movie does run long. So he gets skipped over from the promotion. He freaks out. I think he gets fired, though. It's never explained. We just see him leaving the office with a box.
He quit his job.
Things. He quit or was he fired?
He physically assaulted his boss.
No, he did not.
One or the other.
He broke his
Bluetooth.
He broke his Bluetooth back when Bluetooth, that was like $400 in his ears. So he's like, you know what? I think you're done.
Yeah, I assume he got fired.
Fudge out. I got my new sales manager. You get the fudge out.
So like he could have been making good money at this job. So like
probably
that's
was.
On him for
oh, no.
But he could probably get another one. Anyway, so he
you're not affording house. Unless you're making pretty damn good money and you got two kids, you're not really gonna have a house unless you're really stretched.
I mean we don't see Leslie Mann go to work. So like this might be a single.
I had a question about that. I don't it's very clear what
drunk
her
in the middle of the day with Alec was it Sullivan? What's her name?
Well, number one,
Nicole Sullivan.
Yeah. That was one of the most relatable things I've ever seen. I've definitely come back to places and been like, really good to see you, man. And just gone up to someone's face.
A lot sunnier than it should be.
And just like,
cheek. Wait, don't skip ahead. We'll talk about it.
Kissing the cheek. And it's good to see you, man. It's real good.
So he doesn't get the promo. He gets fired. He tries to go hang out with his kids. But he's like, I wish they would have told us that, like, he travels a lot for work, so he's always out of town. So that's why he's not around, or just some reason for like why he's so out of touch with his kids. Yeah. But then he does bring them home, and he and Leslie Mann, his wife, get into an argument. And you're just like, I cannot root for this man because he literally says to her, try to see things from my perspective. I'm extremely disappointed with my life.
Uh-huh. Ugh. And then she comes back with, I never asked you to marry me. And then he says, but I did anyway. I'm like, oh, Jesus. Fuck, this is dark.
Yeah. And the reason why they're like, we found out they're getting a divorce And the reason why is like he's always complaining about how he wishes his life was everything different. And you're like, this bitch popped out a child at like 18 years old. So I don't care.
He probably
like,
had dreams. She probably had goals. Yes.
Oh, no. First thing, everything he's complaining about and she's saying and all that. I'm like, you know what? Yeah. Join the fucking club, bro. Not going to go the way.
That's 30s, man.
You that's the 30s and you make plans. Whatever you believe in, God laughs and so on. It's not going to happen unless everything goes perfect and nothing ever goes that way. And you're bringing that down on your kids and yep. your wife and you completely turned them against you with your bullshit. Just either get over it or you should get out.
You fucked up.
Let them try to be happy.
Yeah. And that's the part where you're just like, I don't want him to get saved by the magical janitor. Like I don't like, let's Scarlett get a do-over. Let her not get knocked up by this fool.
That's and see what happens there. Done. Because really, I mean, it's hard to cheer for the guy who was the super popular star athlete with the hot girlfriend in high school and things have not gone well from it. Like, oh no, like you had everything you wanted and it didn't work out. Like, I don't feel bad that your life isn't consistently great for 20 years. You had 4 good years. Some of us have 4 good years later on. You had yours early. Like,
yeah.
Sorry, I don't feel bad for you over that.
Yeah, and it seemed like he had like a good job.
Yeah.
2 kids, lived in a nice neighborhood. Hey, it's not what you wanted, but you should have learned to get over it by fucking now, man. Like, you're
And your wife is Leslie Mann. Shut up, stop complaining, dude. For him to be 37, motherfucker, you look 48. Like, you're lucky you have the life you have and the wife you have right now.
There's ways to get around, and especially having... Do you know how many people who have kids at 17 are stuck in apartments, in poverty?
Yeah. It's a hard fucking life.
You own a single family home. You have kids in high school who seem to be achieving something.
Well, they're going to college next year, and there's never a talk about, like, how are we going to afford this? She got into Harvard. What are we going to do? Like, no, it's fine. She's fine.
Yeah, she got into Georgetown.
Georgetown, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, as we're kind of talking about, Mike's wife is Scarlett. She has dreams of, like, being... Scarlett. So it sounds like dreams. Like, it's not what she's currently doing. What she's currently doing, they never tell us. Wants to be, like, a landscape designer. And she has all these plans for the backyard. But Mike always starts to get involved and then gives up on it because it's too hard. And if I had gone to college and done X, Y, and Z, I could have paid for someone to finish building the barbecue for me or pay someone to set up the hammock for me.
This would drive me nuts.
Yeah.
I would be so amazed
she's lasted as long as she did.
Seriously.
Yeah.
This is how so many, I'm sure, guys who are disappointed in one part of their lives find some sort of fulfillment by accomplishing something else. You finish the
barbecue
grill
pit.
or the barbecue pit. You finish the deck. You put up those awesome lights. It looks really good later. It looks really nice.
I mean, there's been times where I've been kind of in a rut and like, taking on a big art project and finishing it all the way makes you feel better. You did a thing.
I mean, your body's telling you, it'll be great. Just crawl into bed for 16 hours and I'll wake up and everything will be better. Let me tell you.
It ain't gonna work. Well, and really, frankly, I kind of feel like it's one thing if you start projects and you don't finish the ones you start, but like I'm in the middle of something, you swoop in to fuck it up and then you walk away afterward. Like, no, that's a whole different level of
dickhead
behavior.
A bowling bag into the chipper. I mean, holy, there better not be a ball in there. That thing is dunzo and it looks rented.
Yeah,
somebody's gonna be pissed about that.
It's either you turned into a mortar or you've destroyed it. There's two options here.
Ain't coming back, folks.
No,
you've lost it. It's done.
Maybe it's part of her land. It's her own equipment, so she's like, it's fine.
I guess it could be.
I can fix it.
I'll ruin it.
Considering what she's throwing in there, I really hope they have ownership of it. I really do. For their sake, for their children's sake. It's expensive. Industrial equipment's expensive.
Yes. So he's a daughter, Maggie, who got into Georgetown. He didn't know. The son, Alex, he's trying to get him to play basketball, but Alex is just kind of like, whatever, Dad. I don't really care. And we mentioned before, Brian Murray Doyle, I thought it was Doyle Murray, but it is Doyle Murray. Okay, it is Doyle Murray.
That's I was like, Murray Doyle.
I know, it felt wrong, but I that's how I wrote it. Sorry. My husband's always like, anytime he pops up in a film, I was like, oh, it's Bill Murray's half-brother. He's like, how do you know this? I was like,
Brian Murray.
No, he runs the Caddyshack in Caddyshack. He's the supervisor of the caddies.
Mm-hmm. Pretty sure he's like in every Bill Murray film. Like, I'm also sure he's in Groundhog's Day. Like, it's,
yeah, he is. He's Bill Murray's version of Shemp Howard.
No, he plays the guy who gets to hold the Punxsutawney film. Yes. Groundhog's Day.
Yep. That's right.
That's a great part.
The mayor.
I feel like there's also like a Ned Murray who pops up on stuff too. Is that not? I'm not. Oh, okay. Maybe I'm thinking Ned Beatty.
There's
but there
Joel.
Is a Murray. There's a
Joel
Dave.
Joel's in the new cast of Whose Line Is It Anyway? He travels he travels.
They're
with
coming
Greg
here
Proops
soon.
And those guys.
Yeah.
He's very funny. Joel Murray. And then I think there's one more. I can't, that, another that one. I can't think of. Brian Doyle's the one he's been in movies and stuff just on his own without his brother and mm-hmm. played other things too. But
yeah.
Very funny.
Joel
guy.
Is the youngest of the nine Murrays.
Nine.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
That's so many.
So,
I remember him. He was in this Bobcat Goldthwaite movie. They were like called God Bless America. If you get a chance to,
what is he doing nowadays? Huh?
Really good.
But yeah. So anytime you see Brian Doyle Murray, you know something's up. He's got that gravelly voice.
Hey, how are you? Stuff like that. You know, how you doing? Good to see you.
Gotta follow my instructions.
I haven't seen you. Wait, is that you right there? Yeah. You want to go back there? You sure? Are you? Hey. It's not quite like that. I get a little over.
That's not far off.
You know, it's pretty close. But he's just like, he runs into him at the school and he's like, I bet you do wish you could go back and do it all again or whatever.
Wait, that's right. He played the guy who shot Oswald in JFK.
Oh, God. Jack Ruby?
He played Jack Ruby. I'm not going to be able to see you some other time. He's really.
God.
Watch that part again. He's great. He's
I realize
so
that when I do his voice, I'm just doing Wario. Just, rah,
hey, rah. How are you?
That's not how he sounds.
It's kind of a Chicago and a little bit of rasp in there.
It's close enough. There's like real Cicero accent. Distinct. Yeah, like it's very distinct.
I think they're from the north suburbs too, which didn't make any sense. They sound more Chicago, like deep, like south side.
Yeah. No, I buy Berwyn, yeah.
No, I think they're from Wilmette or something.
Oh, shit. Sure. All right.
I don't know. I'm guessing here.
Okay. But he is the magical janitor who gets, who interacts with Mike earlier in the film. And then when Mike is driving home in the rain, which, you know, signifies change.
Of course.
He sees the magical janitor jumping off of a bridge or looking like he's going to. He gets up on the bridge and is looking into some sort of vortex whirlpool.
Yeah, it's a whirlpool. The Kraken is down there.
It's all very, very scary. And there's a storm. So I'm like, is there something centered like right here? Is this where the weather front starts? Right under the room? Right under there?
He saw Poseidon. So yeah.
And it affects the radio too. I'm like, geez. Yeah,
of course.
You want to go back?
Also see a reflection of Zac Efron in his suit, like reaching. Yes. I was like, is that what I'm saying?
That was weird. That was right. They couldn't figure out the right way to do this. So like, let's just make like a hole in the water and he jumps into it and then comes back out.
Let's just say fuck it.
Yeah, that's it. Because that it's very mushy.
The audience is going to forget this part within the movie anyway, so fuck it.
Yeah. Because it's like he doesn't have to go back to it. He doesn't have to jump into the water again to go back to being his regular self, which I feel like is usually part of these bigs and reverse bigs.
Almost always.
Have to go back to the start.
Yeah.
He had no idea what to do. He's given no instructions on what to do.
No.
But ends up, luckily, at the end, you know, but still, it's like he's just kind of.
His spirit guide doesn't guide him.
No, not at all.
Well, you know, that doesn't, I guess in Big and 13 Going on 30, it's not really, it's just a kid wishing to be big and then realizing, oh, I regret this. But we realize it is a spirit journey with the help of Ned. So let's talk about Ned for a second here. Thomas Lennon, MVP.
So good.
Makes the most out of every second of screen time he gets.
Did we find out where his money came from and I missed it?
Yes. No, we do. We do.
What does he say?
Because at first, you're very taken aback by this house. It's got a Star Wars themed bedroom where it's a speeder with like stormtroopers and painted. Oh, yeah. There's a lot of memorabilia from movies and TV shows in it. Because Ned was a huge dork in high school. Was a dungeon master back then. Obviously he still into... Well, he said he was.
He said he was. What he said didn't make any fucking sense, but go ahead.
Okay. Okay.
It bothered me a little bit.
But he's still a dork into his adulthood. But yeah, for the longest time, you don't know where the money comes from. He has lots of comic books. He's the go-to source. They're trying to figure out what happened. There's Ned is freaked out that young Mike appears because he doesn't recognize him at first, even though it's his best friend since like first grade.
Yeah.
There are lots of weapons in this home. He comes at him with the battle axe. He comes at him with the sword. They are fighting with lightsabers. I'm sure they were recreating some sort of battle. I didn't care to look it up.
I didn't recognize it.
I feel like they were trying.
Probably.
There's shields. There's all this shit in this house. He figures out, oh, you're being put on a spirit quest. And you have a spirit guide. That's maybe who the janitor was or whatever. Where he got his money is he said he came up with the software or the program or whatever that keeps you from being able to steal music. But he also came up with the software that allows you to steal music. And in my notes, okay, I went, I'm pretty sure the latter doesn't exist. The former exists. But I don't think there's any way to prevent people from stealing music.
You know what? I bet there is, because somehow NFTs exist. I don't know how the fuck that works, because like I could just take a screenshot of that, put it in Photoshop and crop it. So I don't know how that's supposed to work, but presumably there is some kind of a way that you can like encode an MP3 file to not be transferable or something.
Okay.
I don't know.
It might be. I will say, you cannot, if you're watching YouTube TV on your laptop, mm-hmm, and you try to screenshot something from that and send it to other people, they just receive a black square.
Yep.
So
who does that shit too?
Yeah. Mm.
I was trying to send Bobby Lesh a screenshot of some like a caption on MSNBC like 2 months ago. And I'm like, what the fuck is this black square? Like, I'm very confused by this. Yeah.
I've literally taken a picture of my laptop to then share a photo with people. So I was like, you have to see this screen grab that I'm attempting to take.
Wild. Weird.
Okay. So that's where he got his money from. So he's incredibly rich. He winds up like helping Ned, Ned winds up helping Mike get into school and stuff. But like, he has to go back to their high school. So to me, it makes sense that Mike and Scarlett still live in their same hometown. Be great if we got to see their parents, but for them, it's like, why leave? You know, like, let's just stay here and make our lives easier. It makes zero sense that Ned is still there, especially when he says at one point, I vowed to never, ever, never, ever go back. Obviously, we need it for plot mechanisms and or machinations and all that good stuff, but it truly makes no sense that Ned still lives in their hometown.
That's true. Logic would dictate, well, number one, I mean, just like logistics, he has to leave there to have the career that he has. This was in 07. Working remote wasn't really a thing. So it's like, oh, I'm a stay-at-home software mogul. Like, no, I had to go to Silicon Valley. Like, that's where I had to be, mm-hmm, to get my job going. Mm-hmm. Number two, it seemed like he fucking hated his life there. Like, we don't really explain why Mike and he are friends. And I was a little bit worried when we go to the future that it was going to be like, Mike still hates this guy, treats him like shit, but is using him for like his house. I'm like, no, this is legitimately his best friend. He never acts irritated by him. Not once. He's like, yeah, this is my buddy. But yeah, I'm a little bit confused kind of in general by everything about the Thomas Lennon character. I love him in this movie, but no, he shouldn't still be there. This house doesn't belong in this city at all. Like, it'd be weird to drive past it, I feel like. There's one really fancy house not far from where I live. Everyone just calls a spaceship house. It looks like the Space Needle, essentially. Like a three-story tall Space Needle. And I'm like, I don't know, but it's made of wood. So it's not white. It's like a brown space needle. I'm like, who the fuck would it doesn't fit into central Iowa at all. So I'm sure this house looks odd, but yeah, I don't, I'm happy they didn't pick the low hanging fruit and make it where he's a total loser and Mike is using him. And then Ned finds out in the third act, he's like, but I thought we were friends. Like, no, they are. I'm happy they didn't do that route with this.
Yeah. They're legitimately friends. I'm trying to like think of some of the lines that I thought were funny when they're trying to figure out how this could have happened to Mike. He says, have you now or ever been a Norse god, a vampire, or a time traveling cyborg? And he's like, no, man, I've known you since the first grade. And he's like, well, a vampire wouldn't tell and a cyborg wouldn't know. So there you go, sir.
The way that he handled that was great, because he's like, listen, man, I know that you think I sound crazy. You are telling me you have jumped back into your teenage body. So, like, I'm going to be as crazy as you are. I'm going to be crazy my way.
1,000%. He then gets the hots for the principal.
I get it.
And he shakes her hands and he goes, I think our hands just made a baby.
No. Not some shit I would have said, but I totally get being awestruck by Melora Hardin.
No,
totally.
It also tells me he doesn't know how babies are made. Just touch your hand real quick.
Oh. I have some worries about that. That's he goes, I also feel the need to tell you that Mark's a bastard.
just to start it off.
Mark's a bastard. I had him out of wedlock. I am single. And I'm very rich.
I mean, yeah, he's not... I can understand if you're a dude. I go back to The Simpsons. I think about Artie Ziff meeting a hot woman. It would go like this. Like, this is how Artie Ziff would behave. I'm very rich. Yeah. I am John Lovitz. That's how this would go. Like, I get it.
That's a ticket.
Honestly, yeah. Kudos to Melora Hardin for being patient with him.
Yeah. He also says, your hair is pretty. Would Milady mind if I smelled it?
Would Milady mind?
Ugh.
It's shit like that, Thomas Lennon. Like, there's your problem.
It's just such a good scene. And he continues to, like, hit on her and do a lot of ridiculous stuff. We eventually learn that they are both Lord of the Ring heads and freaks because he talks about having something that Gandalf had. And she's like, well, I guess from the Return of the... Or no, Two Towers.
Yeah, he from Gandalf the Wind and Gandalf the Grey.
He paid $10,000 for Gandalf the Grey's staff from Return of the King. And then she points out he was only Gandalf the Grey in Fellowship of the Ring. At that point, he is Gandalf the White. And I'm like, you're not wrong, but like, don't be a dick. Like, you know what he's talking about.
But then his
dick got really hard in that moment. I will say, the face he made in that moment when she spoke Elvish back to him, I'm like, this is great. No, he's snarling.
It was a boner face. He was very excited.
It was the face from Jizz in My Pants. Yeah.
Mm.
Yep. So that's there's a lot of good Ned stuff, but I'm realizing we're running low on time and I gotta get to bed, so let's keep going. Mike winds up being 17 again in 2007, not in 1989 in the current day.
That's what I wanted.
So he's like, oh, this is my quest. He originally thinks his quest is to be good at basketball and try that again.
Sure.
And then he realizes it's really about reconnecting with his family. He learns his son is like a huge dork and gets picked on, which I don't buy for one second. That kid is cute. He's tall-ish. I'm not buying that he's getting taped to toilets by Stan, who's the head of the basketball team. Also, Stan is a douche. He's like a meathead. He's a jock. He's a bully.
He's a drug addict. Look at his eyes.
Yes.
That's the way people judge. Back when I was in high school,
he's a drug addict.
They'd be like, look at his eyes. He's a drug addict. No, he looked zombie.
He eyes, looked strung out.
Black eyes.
He looked strung out.
Yeah. So that's the guy that Maggie's dating. So I just don't buy that I am dating your sister and treating you like absolute trash.
No way.
I don't think so.
The only way, the only way that works is if we see that Maggie has like this really negative relationship with him.
Yes.
Like it seems like they don't seem like they are super close, but we also don't see like a whole lot of tension between Alex and Maggie. So like
brother, sister, high school, same similar age relationship.
What, a year apart?
Looked very standard.
Yeah, it seemed fine to me. Yeah.
I just don't think, unless he's like that much of a shithead, which he obviously is, but I just don't buy like you're going to be truly terrible. Like, no, I didn't buy it. I don't like it. I didn't like that being a plot point. Let's have it be someone else. Yeah. But we had to like centralize. We had to compress things here. So then Maggie, so we find out the kid's like a huge dork nerd, gets picked on, gets bullied, is more like a Ned because he can't talk to girls. He's super awkward.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But he works with him to like get him to be good at basketball because he can do it. He just doesn't believe in himself because he's so afraid of Stan. So we have that plot line going on.
Yeah, there's some good training too. Let me just
shoot free throws while I
let me just put this bullhorn in your ear and then
a bullhorn in your face.
That's all they did. That's all they did.
They dribbled up and down the abandoned amphitheater.
They did up and down the amphitheater.
But then also,
I mean, not for nothing. You know what's useless in basketball? Dribbling upstairs.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not going to help you dribble better.
Actually, free throw, now that I think of it, free throw, that's probably the most important thing you can do in
high school,
practice.
Especially. Yeah. But yeah, running, dribbling up and down some stairs is like.
Sorry.
The rest of it's
flat. So.
Yeah. Didn't really. We could have seen some other montages or other things in the montage. Mm-hmm. So he spends a lot of. Yeah. So there's like a montage of Mike like reconnecting. He definitely has some stumbles in the beginning of saying things that he shouldn't say, or but it's not like enough. It's not funny. I know Zac Efron is trying, but that's not his wheelhouse to put this on really well.
No.
But there's like a montage of him cock blocking Maggie because he hates Stan. And then we see him spending a lot of time with Scarlett, which is just awkward. So I'm gonna put a pin in that for a second. But the Stan thing, there's a part where like Maggie says she's not going to go to Georgetown because Stan is on the management track at Home Depot. So she's going to go to the community college to stay and be close with him. I do not think the daughter of two people who had them or had her right after high school graduation, I just don't think she would do this. Like, I think she would have learned the lesson. I think Scarlett would have been like, hey, no, I don't know.
Some people are like, well, you did it, so this is what makes me happy now, so I'll make this work now and I'll follow this track and it worked for you. We'll figure it out. It'll definitely work.
You know,
I think she thinks she's using her parents as an example. I think
they're getting divorced.
I know.
They didn't
but
work
everything
out.
Up until then was pretty good.
And her dad's miserable and complains about how much he hates his life every day.
She doesn't know that.
No, so I'll watch that and I won't get divorced. It'll work for me. It's pure, I'm sure it's pure narcissism.
Okay. See, the part that made this believable for me, we don't see Maggie as a popular girl. We don't see her as the head cheerleader. We don't see her with the three or four friends from Buffy the Vampire Slayer who are like bigging her up.
She's kind of, I don't mind, gothy sort of.
She wears a lot. She looks a lot
dark
like Anna,
colors.
Yeah, Anna Kendrick from Pitch Perfect. We're like, you're not like a full-blown Marilyn Manson goth, but like you're a dark-dressing, edgy kid is kind of how she presented with dark fingernail polish. Yeah. So I could see her being like, this is my one chance to be with this kind of guy and I really like it and I don't want to blow it. And so if he wants to go to a shitty fucking Home Depot career, then I'm a roll the dice here. And it's one thing to be like, well, I'm not going to Georgetown, so I'm just stopping college. She's going to community college. One semester later, when this dude breaks up with her, she'll just go to Georgetown. Then this is not a long-term plan.
No. I don't think, if you're not going to go, you would have to put in a deferral. I don't think you get to go like, oh, I changed my mind. I'm going to come second semester.
You reapply. You just apply again.
Okay.
She got in the first time.
Let me tell you.
Get in again.
Place like Georgetown, man. Transfers. Oh, boy.
What's to a state school? I don't fucking know how this works.
Oh, boy. No,
land grant, baby.
Yeah. No, it's like it used to drive my brothers crazy on the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air where Carlton transfers into Princeton as a non. They're like, they don't do that.
Yeah, after going to ULA for three semesters or whatever.
Princeton doesn't take non-freshman transfers.
His dad is a judge. He might be able to get in.
No.
Oh.
No.
Your brothers would know better than me. That's true.
Yes. So I thought that was interesting. I don't know. To me, I feel like she'd be like, I want to do whatever it takes to not be like my parents, is the vibe I'm getting.
That's the vibe that I would get. Yeah. But again, I wonder if she knows how bad things are for her parents.
That's okay. That's a fair point. We don't know if he complained. He seems like the type of guy who's complaining in front of everybody. But we don't see it. We don't really get to see it.
I don't know for sure.
We just hear it from Leslie Mann. So then we have Leslie Mann definitely is like, this man looks like my husband in high school. First time she sees him, Leslie Mann plays a great drunk.
She really does.
She's like,
one of the most iconic performances of all time in 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Yeah. Her drunk acting is off the charts.
Gun just blow into this. Like green. Yeah. Amazing.
French toast.
Did you have shellfish tonight?
Stop and get some fucking French toast. So good.
But
look at me.
Like...
Look at me! Sorry. Continue.
It's okay. She like immediately is like, this teenage boy looks just like my husband. And she's like kind of freaked out by it.
It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, too. That's the best part.
I had a major problem here.
This... What?
Well, okay, so
cheeks, you look so cool.
If my high school, if Sex Preamble walked in here right now, looking the way she looked at 17, I'd be like, oh shit, that's Sex Preamble right there. I wouldn't be like, oh, you look a lot like my ex-girlfriend's Sex Preamble. I'd be like, no, that I know you. Like, this is, I know your voice. I know what you like and don't like. We're going to go out to dinner. You're going to order the buttered noodles. I fucking know this. Like, no, this is not a mystery to me. For her to be like, you look a lot like him and you called me what he called me. You play basketball just like dumbass. Like, that's him, stupid. Get it together.
Pretty sure she lives in something called the real world. And it's like, that's impossible.
Okay. But
you can't go back.
I would still recognize Sex Preamble if she walked in here.
You can't bring what's back
now.
Forward. I'm sure you could. Yes.
I haven't seen Sex Preamble since like 2005.
You stop with Sex
Preamble. I can call her real name if you want and get us sued. But yeah, like I haven't seen her in
address,
a long
please.
Time.
Go ahead.
So presumably she
social digits.
Not anymore. She has seen this man every day since he was this age until now. There's no way she'd be like, huh, you look kind of like him. And you call me the name that only he calls me, but it's just a weird coincidence. Dude,
and it's
no,
like,
come on.
So there's a part of him that she goes, like, they're like, oh, it's Ned's kid. Because that's also what he says. They say it's Ned's kid.
No,
I would be like, for a hot second, yo, Mike cheated on me? You
exactly. So Mike fucked somebody else. We were also 18 and had a kid. Okay, like, it's a problem
and
for me.
He blames it on Ned? Like, that's, yes.
Ned
that's
wasn't getting pussy back in the day? What are you talking about? The Dungeons
that's
and Dragons
my head
guy?
Then I'd be like,
yeah.
You look a lot like my ex-husband. Uh-huh. Who is he fucking around? I'd be storming into Ned's house being like, what the fuck?
Oh, so Ned's kid is the basketball star? Like, are you sure? Ned's kid? Ned Gold?
No, she probably like 6-footer or something like that. Like, I'm trying to think of the combination of Thomas Lennon and who makes a...
Zac Efron.
Or makes an athlete capable of like being captain of a
Thomas Lennon and Lisa Lobo or somebody. Like, there's not a whole lot of women that's gonna work.
And
on
I'm
that.
Sorry, Thomas Lennon. I know you're a big fan. You listen. I'm sorry. But he could be very athletic at things, and I have no idea. So.
I've seen him newt boot goofing. He's not that athletic.
No, I've seen him in short shorts.
Yeah.
Deece
thighs, bro. Deece thighs. He's doing all right.
But yeah, so she like immediately recognizes that it is her husband's teenage self. but she still lets this creature around her house and her children and flirts with him. Like, at one point she's talking about going on a date and she's like, oh, I have to dance. And he's like, oh, I bet you can dance. Like, you look like you can move. And I was like, son, get the fuck out of my house.
Over and over, she's like, this is highly inappropriate, but also you can clap these cheeks. And I'm like, well, Leslie, man, did you sit one really, not both.
Yeah.
It's highly inappropriate. Oh, no, my underpants came off.
Like, oh, no. Yeah. Sorry it happened. He's not Canadian. What am I even doing?
But like, at one point he's like, oh, I can help you with the garden. And she's like, I don't know what you think you're doing here. And heard the other day, but we're not doing the MILF thing. Like, you might have a crush. And he's just like, I just want the work experience. And you're like, no, trust your gut. Tell this little freak. She's like, okay, your house.
Very interesting. The MILF thing.
Like, Leslie, man, he's actively masturbating right now. Like, how do you not see what's happening?
Oh, God.
When she needs to dance, she like puts on their wedding song. And she's like, huh? How did you know?
That's a weird coincidence.
Huh? And then at one point they're dancing. She's like, oh, you're very good at this. He says jump, and she just jumps into his arms.
Uh-huh.
No.
You're a grown-up. Stop this.
She knew.
She knew.
She lied to herself, but.
She does then figure it out, because he does call her Scar, which I can't believe he's the only person that calls her that. I don't buy that.
Scar.
I'd probably call her Letty if I was short.
Definitely not Scar.
I call her Letty. That's Scar.
That's some Lion King memories.
Yeah.
Okay, Dom.
Well.
Familia. Letty.
Letty.
What else am I going to shorten Scarlet to? It's like Carl. I can call her Carl.
Care. Scar. I don't know.
Scarl. There's not a lot of options. Scarlet.
It's a terrible name. Scarlet. Also.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, she starts like, she like definitely knows it. Yeah. I don't know. It's just like a very weird thing. She also is like saying like, oh, you really do care about Alex, and he really needs a good male role model. I was like, ouch to your fucking husband. Like,
and really, also, a boy his age is going to be his role model.
Yes, like, it is. I know it's a movie and we're supposed to suspend disbelief, but there are just certain things that I'm like, I just don't buy it. So then he like thinks he's put everything back in order, but it just seems like it didn't work. I'm still fucking 17, so I guess I'm
Alex,
just
why haven't I leaped yet?
Yeah.
That's basically what this was becoming.
That and no, and you the way things get wavy. And that part, I'm like, this is fucking Quantum Leap. He's trying to
Quantum Leap. He's trying to leap.
It's incredible. Maybe that his next leap will be the leap home. Oh. Why'd they remake a perfect show? That pissed me off so much.
I haven't seen the remake, but I'm sure it's bad.
Watch the JFK episode. Watch the Lee Harvey Oswald episode. It's incredible.
I heard they released it not in the correct order for stupid reasons. Where they're like, oh,
no.
The third episode is actually the best episode. So we're going to start with that one, but we're going to miss the setup and delay it like three episodes.
And there were some later episodes with music involved. There's one where like he meets Elvis and shit, and there's music. They had to move all that stuff up. Yeah, there's weird stuff. TV, it was a lot looser back then.
It was now loose.
Rights and stuff. Rights.
Yeah. It's
show us in the right order.
There's some episodes of Hannibal that happen that way because of certain things that are going on, and like they're like, "Ooh, we can't have a show, an episode about kids killing people with guns because we just had a school shooting." Well,
that's the whole Heather's TV series.
Drop that one. Okay, anyway, back to this one. Got to stand back. There's a little bit more I want to talk about before we get to the final leap. but she definitely knows it's him. It's very uncomfortable. I forget where I was going with this. Oh, before I get to that. Of him thinking like, I thought my family seems so much better without me, you know, they don't need me, like, which it seemed like a big jump because I don't really remember anything that happened that would let us believe that. But I think they were like, oh, fuck, we got to end this movie.
Listen, your son is getting bullied every day. Your daughter's dating a fucking loser. Your family needs you, man.
Yes.
What are you talking about?
You've made good changes. Hey, if you have to stay a 17-year-old for the rest of your fucking life and just hang out with your family, then fine.
Leslie Mann is blackout drunk at 2 p.m. Like, your family needs you.
So this is where a question I have. How long do you think he was 17?
Well,
Okay. An entire basketball season to get to the end?
I was going to say it was during basketball season.
So November through what? Well, high school ends in February, March.
Yeah. We didn't see him try out with like the official tryouts. So the season was already underway when they started. I might have missed it. I don't think that last game was like any kind of a championship. It was just like there are scouts coming to the game.
Yeah.
So presumably this all could have happened in like a 2 week span.
2 weeks.
Like 2 or 3 weeks. I mean, we don't see any big milestones. There's not a prom. There's not like we don't see them go through like Christmas and then also St. Patrick's Day or anything.
Correct. No so seasons like, at all. So maybe this was Southern California.
This could have been a couple of weeks.
Beautiful all the time.
Well, there's a tree there's a tree that has like three orange leaves and the rest have all blown off at one point. So this is presumably somewhere where there's like deciduous trees. But like, maybe 2 or 3 weeks is my
appropriate fall jackets. No jackets.
I haven't seen any fall jackets. That's true.
That was like, I couldn't figure out like how long it is happening. He does miss some sort of, not an official hearing, but like some sort of let's get lawyers together. Oh, yeah. Part of
it seemed pretty official.
Divorce proceedings. Oh,
at the end was the official one.
One. His wife could have really just twisted the knife in and fucked him after he missed that hearing. 100%.
The judge would have been, I'm going to allow this.
Would have been, I'm going to allow this. Another future I love it.
My favorite.
So they have the one in that just like, it's not like a deposition because it's a divorce hearing, but they definitely have something like in a conference room. Yeah. And he misses that one because he did just turn 17. Yeah. and... So we know like some time has passed because then they have like an official court hearing. This is right before I think right after he's given up. And then Ned's like, no, we're going to go deal with this. And they're like driving to the court. They get there. Obviously, he's still 17. So Mike's still not there in person. But he reads this really lovely note about the first time he laid eyes on Scarlett and their love and their crying.
What court would allow this?
Crying right? within... He's crying within seconds, really.
Yeah. Yes. Like, and then
shaking.
Dear Scarlett. This guy like that. Yeah.
I just knew. I was
mad watching it.
It's not great. I think I was like taking notes and trying not to look at it. And then he just like he leaves, he drops the piece of paper behind and at first, I was like, I don't understand what's written on this piece of paper because it's 2023 and I don't know what the fuck. It was supposed to be a letter Mike wrote that Mark Gold was reading aloud. But when you looked at the piece of paper, it was directions to the court.
That's what he was?
Said this all from memory. Yeah, I couldn't figure out what the fuck it was either.
Closer to the heart. It's from the heart. Uh-huh.
So then Rush, huh? She realizes
a bunch of nerds in this movie, so I'm like, yeah, Rush. The nerdiest rock band.
They are, yeah.
So I think it makes her realize that, like, he knew all this stuff about us and me, and it's again, she knows it's her fucking husband, but she like cannot admit it to herself.
Right.
So then they go to watch this big basketball game, and I think he's just resigned to his life of like, well, I guess I'm gonna be 17 again. Yeah, which also you have no birth certificates, but I guess maybe Ned can forge them or whatever. Yeah, like I guess
I finally get eligibility.
First thing I thought, man, you can just go out to like Montana. You're a sovereign citizen, baby. You are truly free. The way that they talk about being free.
Get you a gun, you're good to go.
You could. You don't exist. You do not exist.
So playing basketball, the Ohio State scout is there. He does all his warm-up and stuff. And Scarlett's there to watch because her son is on the team as well. And he's doing well. And then before the game, which again, this is incredibly inappropriate. But Mark Gould does what Mike O'Donnell used to do, where he takes a kiss, and I think he does blow it, but then he shoots it like a basketball at Scarlett.
Oh boy, exactly where it's like,
Like, I mean, what the fuck are you doing?
He looks up like, oh, my face. Like it's getting hit with a basketball. Oh my
god, like Jan. He does the kiss and like blows it up. Yeah. He blows it straight forward, but then still shoot. Yeah. I'm like, what are you shooting?
Yeah, I don't know what he's doing.
And in that moment, she's like, I've been here before. I can't do this. So we have the exact same. It's like a very similar recreation of what we saw in the beginning.
She
of the
stops
film.
At the bottom of the stairs where she yep. was.
Turns
was,
back to look at him again.
And he's sitting there. He has the basketball.
Yeah, she runs
this time he's not dribbling. He's just standing right. there and he travels and he walks into the hallway.
That part is what got me. He travels and then he gives his son the ball. He's like, hey, it's your turn now.
No,
and I'm like, no, bitch. Coach, you just traveled and gave the ball to a player on the side. That's a turnover, dude. Like, that's not his turn
coach
now.
Coach puts his son in the game, though. I'm like, cool.
It does. Yeah.
Great. I guess he's Mark Gould's backup. But then they're in the – okay, I think I wrote this down.
And you see Brian Doyle Murray above the tunnel just like
– Yeah, you see Brian Doyle Murray above the tunnel nodding.
Yeah.
Nodding in acceptance.
It was very Mr. Miyagi end of Karate Kid sort of. Yeah.
She's like, you didn't have to come after me. And he's like, I did because I love you. You were the best decision I ever made. I just forgot. And that's
at this point, he's back in his regular body with a jersey that somehow fits.
Not somehow fits. It's huge on him. And that's why I wrote in my notes. I was like, why isn't this uniform super tight on him?
I wanted to see him in like a belly shirt, basically a belly shirt and like shorts that are like up to his hip, but he can't get them all the way up. That's what I wanted to see from this outfit. Shoes that don't fit, bad socks. Like he looked
right.
He looked very comfortable.
Yes. Yeah, I would love any of that. So then basically they kiss and we're left to assume that Scarlett takes him back. My only thought is, so like, I guess this teenage boy was your husband this whole entire time.
Yeah.
Turns out.
He deceives you. Mm-hmm. Doesn't
correct.
Tell you it's him.
No.
This is
he
also
does, he does tell her. At one point, he's like, it's me, the father of your children. Hi. It's Mike. Oh. We got married. And she's like, it's I don't give a fuck. Fuck you. But like, yeah.
What are you talking
he
about?
He does try to tell her.
I guess.
Are you taking your husband back who's been lurking around your family for the past three
the
weeks
lurking,
as a teenage?
The lurking said. Is even the problem for me. The problem...
I said, thanks for all the work in the backyard, but bro, this is gross.
Well, the problem is you've been a shitty husband for 20 years. That's like, right. Great, you're acting right for a couple weeks, but like, and also you almost
was for the daughter. Do you think it was the full 20? He was shitty for the full 20?
Yeah.
You think
I bet. Okay. Well, there's a show I watch on TLC called Unexpected.
Good.
Well, Unexpected is what great. Teen Mom used to be before those girls all became influencers. These girls are deep in poverty, kind of across the board.
Oh boy.
And watching them with their high school boyfriends, I'm like, yeah, this shit ain't going to work. Like, give it 2 weeks. He's going to be tired of waking up overnight. He's going to be tired of your attitude. He's going to be tired of, like, your parents saying, get a job and help out. He's going to fucking abandon you. So I would imagine he was a shitty partner all through the pregnancy. I don't think he was a good, like, newborn parent. And plus, he doesn't fucking know his kids. So even, like, you know, I don't know how early it has to be before you, like, stop knowing anything about your kids. But, no, Scarlett needs to move on. Her kids are almost out of the house.
Sure.
Yeah.
Give it 2 years, you can start a whole new life.
I do think there was, like, a time he might have been a good dad because he, like, takes them to get ice cream and it's like, oh, this was the last time you remember your kids when they're, like, eight and six.
When they're around,
I was eight.
Yeah. That was... You don't have, like, a normal, like, Baskin-Robbins, like, not like the one where it's like, wee, 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 all these noises and shit.
Yeah, it's like Shakey's Pizza. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, no, take them, like, it's after school. I'm sure they'd want to have, like, some food.
Yeah.
Yeah,
there's so many better
in,
places.
Probably order a beer someplace.
And yeah. There's got to be a Chili's or a Friday's. Just go there.
Oh,
yeah.
Applebee's. Love Chili's. Let's go to Chili's.
Good in the neighborhood.
All right.
Let's go.
We already did it.
You know what? Back in 07, might have a Bennigan's. Could be a Bennigan's around
somewhere.
Yeah. It's in the neighborhood.
But like, I feel like, I think he might have been a good dad for like a little bit.
Okay. Sure.
A good husband. And then I think he just got worn down by it all. And like, that's when he stopped connecting with the kids. But yeah, I just don't think, maybe I'm given a little trial period. We'll put the divorce on hold.
I was thinking that.
Sure.
Let's see how things go.
Yeah,
you can maybe start coming over again. You're not moving right back in because I don't trust your bullshit. But like, let's see what's happening. But yeah, yeah. I was just like, again, it's a movie, so obviously she does. But
and she's like, and she's like, I'm really happy that your jersey grew with you and you weren't fully nude when I when I saw you.
This could have been an Incredible Hulk situation.
You're okay, right. So you'll move back in eventually. We'll gradually, but they don't go to that part.
No, he's like, moving back
in. It's all good, man. It's all good, man.
It's all good.
And he's now the basketball coach.
Yeah, which he's I'm basketball like, coach now.
What happened?
What's your other job? What's your other job?
No, that, but also Jim Gaffigan. What the fuck?
Well, he said it was his last season. Yeah.
It was his last season.
Yeah, when he gets back, he's like, oh, you're still here. And he's like, the fuck are you talking about? He's like, oh, you're a legend, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, well, this is my last year. So, yeah, I think that does not make Mike somehow qualified to be a basketball coach, but all right.
But he could do it, but it's not a full-time gig. Like, he still needs another job. That's true. Like, that's not your full-time job.
He needs to get his teaching his credential to do PE along with it, or health or something.
You could just coach. I think
he's just a coach.
Is he in Texas? Is he in certain places in California?
If he's Indiana, I believe that as a basketball coach.
Care about these sports enough to pay just a coach? Yeah. I don't think he's in Texas based on
our coaches that had to work at the school too, which is wild. So one of the things we like doing on this pod is taking a look at a minor character to see if this movie was the start of big things, the peak of their whole career. So it's time for an IMDb deep dive. Dana, who are we gonna dive on this week?
So we're gonna dive in on the son Alex. It was played by Sterling Knight.
That's like a porno name, but all
right. Right. So
I think it might actually be a porn.
It wasn't. So this is his first credit is in 2005 in something called The Calm. It's a short. He plays a skater boy. Next, he was on 34 episodes of the TV show Eve the Rough Rider.
Oh, okay.
Wow. Which, why was this little boy on that show?
I don't know. I thought it was an all black cast. All
right. Right. So he was on that show, played someone named Noah. So I was very surprised to discover 36
that. 36 episodes. That's a lot.
Maybe he's, I don't know. But yeah.
Oh, wait. Was six on that show? Is Jenna Von Oye and Eve, or is she in?
No.
Girlfriends. Wow.
She was on, she was the white girl in an all black cast on one of these shows.
Yeah, but it's not this one. So, but he might have been
Girlfriends
Eve.
Or Sisters or one of those. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He was on Eve for 34 episodes as Noah. He was on Hannah Montana for an episode in 2007. He was on The Closer for two episodes, Grey's Anatomy for two episodes, in Demi Lovato's video for La La Land in 2008, Balls Out, Gary the Tennis Coach in 2005.
Someone is in that.
Who was in that?
I think you're right. Someone might be in it. Let me pull this up.
Sean William Scott's in that.
Sean William Scott is that.
Oh, wow.
He plays an opposing
Daniel
player.
Daniel Day-Lewis.
There were a lot of direct-to-DVD ones where it's like, weird phrase, the something-something story that came out during this time. And
yes.
It was one of them. And I remember seeing it and being like, oh, boy.
So he was in that in 2009. Then he's in this. Then it was in something called Mackenzie Falls. It was a TV show. He played Chad Dylan Cooper for seven episodes.
Three names. Sweet.
He has his own little short in 2010, Sterling Knight Starstruck. And then he's in a TV movie called Starstruck. He's in A Modern Cinderella Tale in 2010. Privilege is some sort of video. I Owe My Life to Corbin Blue. It's what? Some sort of short he's in 2010. The dude from...
Wait, Corbin Blue.
Yeah.
From High School Musical?
Yes.
Jesus.
Okay.
He brings back his character from Mackenzie Falls and is in a show called Sunny with a Chance for 47 episodes.
Okay. Mm. That is either Nickelodeon or Disney. I've never seen that, but I'm aware of that show. Yeah. So that makes sense then.
He's also that same character in a show called So Random for 26 episodes in 2011 to 2012.
This is Disney then. Have you heard the Disney theory about like they I think if a show is on the air for like three seasons or more, there's like a big boost that comes to the writer's room and all that shit. So Disney will have a show on the air for 2 years, keep all the same cast and give it a different name. So it's like, yeah, they've done that a lot of times. The Suite Life with Zack and Cody became The Suite Life on Deck after 2 years. Now they're on a boat. but it's just like we're keeping the same cast and we're changing the name of the show so that we don't have to pay them their extra money. It's fucked up.
Yo, that's shitty.
That makes sense why you play the same character multiple different shows for 30 episodes a piece.
It's all produced by that guy who played the manager in Good Burger, right?
That's Nickelodeon. That's all the Nickelodeon stuff.
Different guy?
He's a monster, though, but yeah, that's the Nickelodeon machine. Yeah.
He was in the Hot Wives of Orlando for four episodes.
Was Casey Rose Wilson? The Hot Wives.
Hot Wives is good.
If you don't watch Real Housewives, it's
Andrew
probably
Savage,
okay.
Kristen Shaw, Aaron Hayes. Yep. Oh, Casey.
Kristen Shaw on that show. If you watch Real Housewives, she plays Shannon Bador. She's a drunk disaster. Or she plays not Shannon Bador, Kim Richards, Kyle's sister.
She's a drunk
disaster who cannot get her shit together. It's very good.
But he's on four episodes of that in 2014. He's in something called Landmine Goes Click in 2015. He was on 31 episodes of Melissa and Joey from 2013 to 2015.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Oh.
He was on a TV show called Crowded for two episodes in 2016. He's been in a couple shorts. He was in Different Flowers in 2017, which I think is some sort of film. The Man from Earth from 2017. Something called In the Rough for seven episodes in 2017. Boy. And the most recent credit he has is in 2022, and it's called It Snows All the Time. So I'm going to say this wasn't really the start of anything.
Or the peak of anything. Another credit. Is he Canadian? Because I always wonder if it's a long stretch.
He's from Houston, Texas.
I was trying to give him a bit of the doubt. Maybe he's a Canuck, and that makes Corner Gas. We all found out has 40,000 episodes of that show.
That's a great show.
All right. Well,
his character, Chad Dylan Cooper, is a famous stuck-up celebrity on a bunch of shows.
That sounds like Disney to me. Of course he is.
Unintentionally falls for his rival, Sonny Monroe, which is Demi Lovato. So that's why there's a lot of crossover.
Yep. There we go. Oh, fuck. Jesus Christ. Like, those shows are all so terrible. Just keep cranking them shits out.
So that's his whole shtick.
Okay, well, that does bring us to the end of this episode, and just like the end of the school year, that means it's time to add some superlatives. I only have a few. There should be more, but some of these characters are grown-ups pretending to be teens, so I can't really do them for them. But Stan is most likely to wear his Letterman jacket in his 20s. Alex is most likely to be an unassuming sniper in an over 40s men's basketball rec league. And Maggie is most likely to develop severe daddy issues. We didn't talk about the part where she tried to sexually assault her father, but that happened.
I'd rather not.
Yeah, the less of that, the better. This next movie is Dave's pick. Dave, what are we going to watch next?
I got a lot of tabs here. I got a wrestling movie from the 80s. I got another movie from the 80s, but it's a little too close to this one, so I think I'll skip that one. I got one from the 90s, another sports movie, but I'm going to skip that one. It's getting cold out. It was cold on Sunday, and I was thinking the weather. Man, I haven't watched these movies in a long time. I used to play hockey. I love hockey. We're going to start with the first one, obviously, from 1992. Yeah. We're going to watch The Mighty Ducks.
Quack. Ducks fly together.
And I understand that the owners of the team will deny it, but less than a year after the movie came out, The Mighty Ducks of Anaheim?
Yeah.
Full of shit. But
same color scheme and everything, huh?
More of that next week, and maybe we'll talk about the rest of them, or we can spread them out, whatever you want to do. Might. But I have not seen the original one in such a long time.
Oh, I think it's same. It's been a super long time. This is going to be fun to watch. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, guys, that does it for this week's episode. If you like what you heard, be sure to subscribe, rate, and leave us a 5-star review. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Recapping Gown Pod. That is RECAPNGOWNPOD. And join our Facebook group, the Recapping Gown Fan Club. We'll keep the discussion going in there all week. If you guys have any opinions or memories of this movie, we'd love for you to jump in and let us know what you think. But if you didn't like what you heard, to quote Scarlett, you are a weirdo little man child. Take it easy, millennials. We'll see you next week.